Let's pray. Father, teach us from your word. May your spirit speak to our hearts. May we learn. May we do. May we love you fervently, we ask in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Memory is a marvelous thing. One of the things that I see as I visit my wife is people whose memory is lost. And it's sad. But to remember is a marvelous thing. And we have all sorts of tricks that we use to remember things. When I was in school, we had to learn the colors of the spectrum. And our science teacher gave this little mnemonic to help us remember. And our brother Dave isn't here, but this has no reference to him. What he taught us was, run, oh you great big Irish villain. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And by that we remembered the colors of the spectrum. It was wonderful. And we use all sorts of tricks like that to remember things. Listen to the words of Ephesians chapter 2, the first 16, 17 verses. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Paul tells us, remember what you were. Now, why does he want us to remember that? He's not encouraging us to remember what we were out of a sense of morbid reflection, so that we can beat ourselves up for what we once were, weighed down by it. That's the devil's work. He's the one who reminds us of our sin. He is the one who looks to discourage and to drag down and to frustrate. But God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sin from us. It's gone. There is no one who can justifiably bring an accusation against us now. It is all covered by Christ. Repentance, or a part of repentance, is turning your back on the past and looking ahead to Christ, leaving the past behind. Paul, so why does Paul say, remember what you were? He wants us to be aware of what we were so that we can be kept humble in our present state. Now, some of us have been what one friend of mine used to refer to as neat sinners. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of us were like that. So some of us were quite respectable sinners. To the outward look, we were good people. Fine, upstanding members of the community. But within, the anger, the greed, the lust, all the things that nobody can see were present in us, every manner of impurity. Either way, whether you were a serious sinner or a respectable sinner, Paul describes our situation as it was. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you used to live. You were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. You were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. Whether a serious sinner or a respectable sinner, that is the state we were all in. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Or as Paul puts it in Romans 5:8, but God showed his love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that our transformation from having no hope and being without God in the world to being brought near is not our doing. It is by God's grace. It is by the blood of Christ. It is by the faith that he gave us, that he put in our hearts. Even the faith that saves us was a gift. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not from within us. As a result of this, there is not one of us that has any reason at all to boast of our standing in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not? And again in Romans, then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. We have contributed nothing to our salvation. All we have done is to receive it humbly as a gift of the grace of God. We have nothing of which to boast. And therefore, we have nothing that we can hold over anybody else and say that we are better than you. So, we were alienated from God, but by His grace and by the blood of Christ, we have been brought near. For He Himself, Christ, is our peace. And if we have been made children of God, let us live as children of God. Paul tells the Ephesians, remember who you were. Remember that you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. But now, in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember what you were, so that you may marvel at what God has done in you and live as children of light, living in the unity of the body, working together to spread the news of the kingdom of God. Remember who you were, but remember what God has made you. The rest of Paul's letter to the Ephesians describes how we are expected to live as children of God, remembering what we were and remembering what God has made us. Now, the question is, did the Ephesians do what Paul suggested? It's estimated that Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians about 60-65 AD. While he was in prison in Rome. The second New Testament letter to the Ephesians was written about 95 AD, about 30 years later. Listen to that second letter. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The first letter to Ephesians was written by Paul. The second letter to the Ephesians was written by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Had they followed Paul's instructions? Maybe initially, but their love had waned. Oh, they were still outwardly looking good. They were active, they were busy. But you have abandoned the love you had at first. In 35 years. I've been a Christ follower for nigh on to 50 years, a little over 50 years. How does my love compare now to what it was in those first days? Ask yourself the same question. How does your love for God measure up in comparison to what it was? The Ephesians had once been doing well. And though they continued to be active in Christian things and bearing up in the face of persecution, their love had grown colder. And Christ found it necessary to call them to repentance and to return to the zeal of their first love for him and to warn them of the consequences if they did not. We need to call on the Spirit of God to look into our hearts and to examine them and to show us where we stand. Remember, it's okay to be okay. If all is well with your relationship with God and you are deeply in love with him, wonderful. But if there are things that need to change, let him do it. Remember where you came from way back then. Remember where you were at the beginning of your life in Christ. Remember now what you are in Christ. We love him because he first loved us. What he has done for us calls us to love him supremely. The first and the greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let us not be as the Ephesians were, and forget where we came from, and how we were transformed, but let us hold fast to our love for Christ. And let our love for him know no bounds.